Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hello.
Each week we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. This episode 73, which technically should be episode 74.
But we skipped a week.
But we missed a week last week. We had a lot going on. By Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet with a new emphasis on healthy pet, happy life.
We're going to talk about healthy pet, happy life this segment, right? Just a little brief segment where we talk about it.
Yeah, and we're not going to get super deep, but I have a case-related topic to talk about.
Cool.
So, interesting, we have picked up on several people, in my opinion, copying us, but yet we copied other people doing podcast and blogs and whatnot.
What do you mean people copying us?
So there was a new podcast that came out via email this past week to my email account, and it was like, click here to listen to the first three episodes of our new podcast. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was very interesting. They recorded, and they figured out how to email them out to the veterinary community.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I mean, we've talked about vlogging. Blog. That's just words, but it's a story. What does the B, what does that stand for? Do you know?
I don't think it's a story per se. I think a blog is just a, I don't know. Let's look up the definition.
Look up what it means. But now the new thing is video logs, vlogs, according to my son. And we've talked about this. And Genius Vets is doing this, right? They're getting in front of you, the end user recipient of the content, and now they're giving you storylines, but they're doing it on video with audio.
So blog, by definition, is a regularly updated website or web page, typically one run by an individual or small group, that is written in an informal or conversational style. So I don't know where the B comes from.
Yeah. Huh. Do you know where Wi-Fi comes from?
We talked about this before.
Do you know?
No.
I don't either. Secure WAN.
What about them?
Yeah. Do you know where that comes from? The WAN part of...
Well, I know there's WAN and landlines.
Wireless something. We'll have to get Bill. We've claimed that we're going to get Bill on the show for a year, but we haven't. So, okay. So, we're probably going to be all over the place today because I'm kind of in that mood, but... We are currently at the clinic. The month of August is Care Fund month.
Yes.
So our nonprofit Care Fund, which stands for Companion Animal Rescue and Emergency Fund.
Uh-huh.
And basically that's our nonprofit where we try to raise monies for local pets and families in need. And I will remind our audience that was the one thing that you did that got you recognized at American Humane Awards for the, was it Technician of the Year? What was the title? I forget.
Veterinary Nurse Award.
So.
Which they're doing again this year. And so I'm super thankful that I guess we went through it in 2019 instead of 2020. Because I feel like people are so distracted with other things that there's no way that the technicians and the doctors that are doing this now are getting the same recognition that I got in 2020, which granted, I will admit that I feel like the hero awards were mostly about the dogs, not really about the people.
Hero, I forgot to add that. That was the veterinary nurse hero award. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's ongoing right now. I think the polls are about to close if they haven't already for this year's Hero Vet and Hero Vet Nurse. Interesting. You and I talked about going back out to California and kind of
Even thought about it though, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that would have been cool to go there. I don't know.
It'll be in October.
I was a not, I was going to say a donor, that sounds wrong, but I donated some monies from GVA mm-hmm. while we were at the event. I think we gave them $1,000, if not more. Mm-hmm. Probably that was it.
Well, it was a very big fundraising event for them, right? So, like, they essentially called out Dr., I forget her name. In my mind, I can see who she is, but she's essentially the current president of the Hero Dog Awards, or American Humane. And so she essentially kind of spent some time before the show actually started, or the Hallmark show started, raising funds, and you were a participant in that.
So that was cool. So anyway, that was October last year. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So that will be coming up very soon. American Humane, the Veterinary Hero Award, the Veterinary Nurse Hero Award, and the Dog Hero Award. They give out three major awards.
Yeah. So on that real quick, if I can toot my own horn a little bit. So I was asked earlier this year to kind of write about what moves you as a veterinary technician for a section of an article, or I guess
did
an article
get published?
It's actually coming out this month. That's what I was kind of going there. So coming from NAVC, they have coming from NAVC, there is a magazine or digital magazine that's written once a month, and it's called Today's Veterinary Nurse, so TVN. Cool. And so that's where the section will be. What is it called? Column? Is it called a column even in the magazine?
Yeah.
So that's the column, What Moves You. And so that was all about the Care Fund as well. So
cool. So anyway, back to, we really trigressed almost there.
Not really.
August,
we were talking about Care Fund
month. So we, as a group, are selling, quote unquote, or quote,
so, but
selling,
the
end
reason
quote.
Being is because historically, for the last 5 years, we've had a 5K. This year, with Corona, we've decided to cancel our in-person 5K.
Right.
And we are trying to raise funds in other efforts.
To subsidize our Care Fund. And so we have talked about this in years past. We order shirts. We ordered Christmas jackets. We order garb for staff, typically 3 to 4 times a year, as a perk, as a...
Yeah, a thank you, a benefit, an appreciation, a
show
of gratitude.
So we design t-shirts, and we print them out. We get everybody's size, and you get a t-shirt, and then Fridays are casual Fridays where you can wear the shirt. And we always have leftover shirts. So we decided 4 to 6 weeks ago, Jen, Rhonda, you, and myself, that let's take the extra shirts. Instead of putting them in a closet somewhere, let's go ahead and offer those up to clients. And so we started doing that a couple of weeks ago, or beginning of August, technically. And I don't know how many sales we've had, but we've sold many to clients.
Absolutely.
And I would just hope that they can kind of, I don't know, feel like they're more a part of the GVA family by having that shirt, and definitely embody what the shirt stands for. This current shirt is coral in color. It has our logo on the left breast pocket, and the back has a circular
lay.
I was going to say, aloha, but that's the wrong thing. Lay.
Yeah, it's a lay.
With multiple colors, and then it has our core values around that. So we definitely want to keep this going, and I do think we'll continue to push out shirts and hopefully share them with our clientele.
Yeah, for sure.
So... thank you, clients, for buying shirts. Thank you for buying koozies. Thank you for just flat out right contributing to the Care Fund. Whenever you think about it, or whenever you get ready to give a charitable donation, we definitely are fortunate to have that funding available to help many, many clients and pets in our immediate area. So
just to speak on that, if you do donate over $250, you do get a tax certificate to support your taxes.
Yeah.
Anything less than that, the Veterinary Care Foundation, which is kind of who we run our Care Fund through, will not send those out. So you'll have to just keep up.
Yeah,
with
we have a third party
administer
that, so
own.
We don't have to, deal with the paperwork. But Anything under that, you can just simply write off and just track it. And anything over that, they should be able to generate a receipt for you.
They do, actually, via email.
So, you know what we as the Miller family donated this past week?
No.
A Volvo S70.
Wow. To Mother Waddles?
I don't know who or what Mother Waddles is, but no, there's a special needs.
You've never heard of Mother Waddles? Is that like a Michigan thing? Let me look this up.
We donated the car to kind of a special needs facility in Watkinsville, Georgia, and they're going to use her to just kind of tote people around. So, 2000.
So they're going to actually use it as a vehicle versus like selling it for parts. That's interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, I hope she will help many, many people get from point A to point B.
So Mother Waddles is a charitable car donation in Detroit, Michigan. I didn't realize that they were only in Detroit.
Yeah. Never heard of it.
Never ever.
Have you heard of that jingle 1-800-CARS-FOR-KIDS?
Mm-hmm.
So evidently the proportion of, probably get myself in trouble here, of proceeds that go to the charitable intent versus admin is not quite where it should be. So,
and you guys look these things
up. We definitely look these up, and I would invite our listeners to use your own judgment whenever you choose to donate to a charity. So we'll leave it at that. So we are broadcasting from beautiful, hot, sunny, muggy Lawrenceville, Georgia again today. And this morning at approximately 8:10,
I
experienced my third earthquake in Georgia.
Are you going to sing that line of the song?
No, that song's actually, I don't know if the title's Earthquake, but the guy that sings it pronounces it Earthquake. You're my earthquake. It's quite the hilarious song. So no, all of a sudden, I will admit that I was being kind of lazy and sleeping in a little bit, and the bed kind of rumbled, shook in a very unusual way, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is another earthquake. And approximately 5 seconds later, shimmer, 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 shimmy, a little bit of wall rattling, same thing on the bed, and then it was done.
Interesting.
And so, of course, I immediately went online to Channel 11 Action News, and nothing was posted because it just happened.
You need to get on Twitter. Twitter is like where things happen instantly.
Yeah.
So there was an earthquake in Sparta, North Carolina, and I thought my parents were crazy. I heard about this from them today. They were talking about how they were watching Blacklist, so they're trying to get caught up on TV shows. So at 8 o'clock this morning, they were binge-watching Blacklist. And my mom said that she felt the couch shake underneath her, and she looked at my dad real quick, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
As if he was, like, shaking the couch.
It's kind of weird because it's like, this is weird. It's different. It's not the garage door going up and down, or, you know, it's not. And then you're like, it's an earthquake.
So what's interesting, though, is I did wake up this morning around 8:05, 8:15.
You totally missed it.
But I didn't realize that there was an earthquake. But Lance had all three dogs in the bed with us, and Tobin, he's our youngest dog. I would say probably the most in tune with things. He was very uneasy. He was like barking, which he never barks.
Huh.
So we have a set of custom made stairs that my dad made for our bed so the small dogs can kind of get up there. And so he was standing on the stairs and he had his feet on the top stair. So all I could see was like his head, and he was just kind of like letting out a little rumbly bark.
Interesting.
As if to alert us, which is very interesting.
And then after the fact, was he back to normal?
Totally fine. Yeah.
So on a personal note that you probably don't want to talk about, but I did not ask you how your dog Fonzie is doing today. Fonzie, unfortunately, we recently diagnosed as going into chronic kidney failure. So I hope I don't get a really bad update, but is he doing okay? Hanging in there?
Yeah, he is hanging in there. So I will say, like, when we diagnosed him, I guess almost 2 weeks ago now, I've never imagined it would be chronic kidney failure. I brought him in because he had urinated inappropriately in the house. And so I thought even at his 14 years of age that we would essentially just, you know, find a UTI and treat it and he would go on and live a long, happy life. But no, he is doing great. He is eating. He's super eager to eat right now, which is great because not all pets like diabetic or prescription dog food. So he's eating the KD stew and he loves it. Taking his meds like a champ. Even though he dislikes them.
You're giving sub-Q fluids at home. Is he drinking any water on top of that?
He drinks a little, but it's kind of like when he wants to, he goes and he drinks a lot. But it's not like he goes to the bowl often. Does that make sense?
It does. On the way up to Studio B, I checked my hallway mailbox and his lepto titers came back negative.
Okay, well.
I don't know if you knew that or not.
I did not know that.
So we felt like they probably would be negative, but I wanted to definitely prove that. So
yeah, but he's doing much better.
Hopefully we can manage him and keep him around and keep him comfortable moving forward. That's obviously your goal and mine as well.
Sure.
So word of the week, word of the week is really a plethora of words, resection and anastomosis.
I feel like we've talked about anastomosis with Graham.
Probably, but the reason that's the word of the week is Dr. Williams, on my way up to record this, was completing a, as the millennials call it, RNA, resection, and anastomosis. I guess, stands for and, right?
I guess it's shorthand, like,
but
the
it should
N.
be like R, yeah, anyway, it should be RAA, but, the millennials of the world, like Dr. Hines, call it an RNA.
We've talked about how they like to abbreviate
everything.
It's so
cool, yeah. Not like DNA or, yeah. I guess a different RNA. Never thought about that.
A ribonucleic acid.
She was revising a surgery from another hospital where a dog had a foreign body removed via enterotomy, which means opening the small intestine and then closing it back after removing something. So she resected about 12 to 14 inches of small intestine. And we hope that the pet's going to do well. So resection and anastomosis. Anastomosis means bringing two ends together. And I think it's implied that you affix them together.
Isn't that the resection portion? Where does resection come?
Cut.
Oh.
Resect. So, I don't think there's any COVID or otherwise noteworthy stories. Let's move into our Healthy Pet Happy Life
segment.
Segment. So, we have big plans for this, and there's a ton to talk about, basically what you need to do to keep your pet well and healthy. And I will reiterate that if your pet is well and healthy, they are going to be happy. And the whole reason that people have pets, for the most part, I could be wrong, but the whole reason you have a pet in your life is they make you very happy.
Absolutely.
And if they are not healthy, then you are not happy. So it's kind of this big circular thing. Healthy pet, happy life for the pet, happy life for the person who is the pet parent.
Or, as we say in our vision statement, the people who love them.
And the people who love them. So, heartworm prevention.
Absolutely.
This is like, I was thinking, are we going to talk about lifestyle vaccines, you know, what exams, blood work, rabies vaccine? What's the most important thing? And so, to me, the top, because it's the number one topic here. The top thing we should do for canine patients in Georgia is make sure that our clients are educated on the need for year-round heartworm prevention.
Absolutely. So I think I'm getting stuck on the whole, like, the number one, the number two, the number three
things.
Yeah,
I mean, it's super...
They're all important, right? And so a combination of all those things that we're going to continue to talk about on each podcast is what's essentially going to help keep your pet healthy.
So the first thing that comes to my
mind,
is that a better way to say
it? Yeah, for sure.
I've often said to clients and to staff, like, I am not doing my job if you live in Georgia and your dog is not on 12 months per year of heartworm prevention. But so, we can say that about many other.
You're mentioning the whole if you live in Georgia thing. So you practice.
I'm going to get there.
Okay.
I'm going to get there.
Okay.
So
I was going to say you practiced in Texas.
I practiced in Arizona. I've never practiced in Alaska. It's a little different. So how are, Angel, how are heartworms transmitted to dog?
Mosquitoes.
To dogs. I said dog, like there's only one.
Mosquitoes.
So mosquito bites. And so to answer that question, any place and any time mosquitoes are prevalent, then your pet, cats are a whole nother story, but they are at risk of heartworm disease as well. But it's a little bit different, so we're not going to talk about that today. But anytime there is a mosquito population that could be out and about, your pet could develop or acquire heartworm infection.
So let me play devil's advocate as I would if I were a client. So, but my dog is pee pad trained and he doesn't go outside.
I've had mosquitoes indoors. I've been bitten by a mosquito on New Year's Day. Not New Year's Day. On Thanksgiving Day, frying a turkey outside. So in November, in Georgia, I can definitely say there are mosquitoes outside. I've also been bitten by mosquito indoors many, many months. And so just because you claim that your pet doesn't go outdoors, that doesn't mean mosquitoes can't come indoors. And I don't say this, but I really don't trust that your pet never goes outdoors. In your right. arms or...
Do you take him for a walk? Does right. he go to the mailbox with you? Right. Something along those lines.
I once had a client that lived... This was in the Monroe area. He claimed to live on a high enough mountain, which doesn't exist around Monroe, Georgia, to where there were no mosquitoes because he was so high on this mountain. And you know what? 2 years after he told me that, one of his dogs developed heartworm disease.
That's sad.
So, anyway, big point. Mosquitoes do transmit heartworms. Let's say heartworms. Now it's more appropriate to say heartworm mm-hmm. or heartworm disease. And so they take a blood meal from an infected pet or animal. They take that blood meal. There's L1 larva. After they take the blood meal, it goes through a couple of molts inside the mosquito. They go back and take another blood meal from your dog. And during that process, they inject or infect your dog with that infected larva. And then typically from 30 to 60 days after taking that blood meal, infecting your dog, that little larva migrates through the dog's body.
So if we can be so descriptive, though, it's living in the blood system, in the bloodstream.
Bloodstream, but through the tissues as well. Because if they get bitten on the back or the back end or the front end, it's going to migrate through the tissues until it finds its way to the heart, usually. So there's all these aberrant cases where sometimes they wind up in the eye and other tissues, but the whole life cycle depends on that heartworm going from infected larva through the body, making it to the heart, and then becoming an adult heartworm. You have males and females, and then they mate, and they make babies, which always happens after, well, it doesn't always happen after mating. Maybe it does, technically. Mate?
Anyways.
I don't know. Anyway.
I digress.
And then they lay these L1 larvae that do float through the bloodstream, and that's where the life cycle of the heartworm starts all over again. A mosquito takes that blood meal, takes that L1. So, long story short, I was trying to be really condensed with that and make it very simple, but it's not a simple process. With heartworm and heartworm disease, we cannot usually prevent the mosquitoes from biting either infected or soon-to-be infected pets, right? There's not enough good mosquito repellents or pesticides that you would want to put out in the environment to completely kill the mosquito population. And so the best bet we have is to give our pets a typically monthly prevention, that when you give that every 30 days, it kind of kills the infected larva migrating through the body. And so we kind of think about it killing back 30 days.
Exactly. Which is why if you miss a dose, it becomes very important.
Very important. So technically, you can sometimes get by 59 days, which is a whole other segment, but you want to give it every 30 days to kill back. We do have injections available that when we inject them into the dog, they are present and slowly released over a 6-month period and a 12-month period. But we typically are going to recommend the monthly because our recommendation is Sentinel Spectrum that has our heartworm prevention, hookworm, roundworm, whipworm, and tapeworm preventative. And so that is just like if you love your pet in Georgia or anywhere else that has mosquitoes prevalent more than 4 months out of the year, we're going to recommend giving it 12 months out of the year, right? Because if you live, let's say you live in Arizona, which heartworms aren't really a big deal unless your pet gets heartworm, and then it is a big deal. It's super hot. There are mosquitoes rarely, but they are year-round because of the heat. If you live in Chicago, maybe you only have mosquitoes 7 months out of the year, but how are you as an owner going to pick and choose which months there are mosquitoes out in the environment and when they're not there?
So that's interesting because I worked in as a technician in Michigan, and this is where I was kind of going to go earlier. When I first graduated tech school and I worked in my first job, we always recommended flea, tick, and heartworm prevention 9 months out of the year.
I was going to say 6 or 9, yeah.
Yep. Because we would have...
Because in November, you know, December, and
winters,
January.
Winters, yeah.
Or maybe it's December, January, and February.
Exactly, when there was snow on the ground and that kind of thing.
Or maybe this year it's hot. So that's my whole point.
But I do think that their recommendations now have evolved to be 12 months out of the year because it is much easier for people, A, to remember.
Yep, exactly.
And then B, let's say that they don't actually have a super harsh winter. It's a little bit more mild. They're having some nicer days. Or for fleas and ticks, and if they're kind of living, not ticks specifically, but fleas, if they're living closer to the house, the dogs aren't going to stray from the house too far. They're going to stay close where the bugs are. So, it's interesting that I do think that as medicine has progressed and we have evolved as an industry, we are trying to educate all people everywhere.
Yeah.
12, minus Alaska, because I don't even really know, but 12 months out of the year.
12 months, that's complete compliance on our part. And yes, you're not predicting the mosquito population. You're not having to remember when to start back up. Way back when I somewhat first got out of vet school, there were no reminders to tell you when to give your heartworm prevention.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 5 years into my career, there was a TriHeart came out with this heart-shaped paw, and it had a five instructions on how to set this thing up to remind you every 30 days to give your heartworm prevention.
It was like a timer?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And so it's always been a problem. But now we have these little computers that we carry around called iPhones or Androids or other things.
There's Googles. There's other phones for sure.
But we can program it in, or we can choose to you know, give our preventions on the first of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of mentally can remember that. So super, super important. But yeah, I just don't know what months mosquitoes are not going to be in Georgia. And so the safest thing is going to be to give it 12 months out of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Average cost on, like, we feel like we have a really great preventative program. $150 for the year, is that roughly?
Yeah, that's about roughly. So, like, without their rebates.
$12 to $15 a month?
Yeah, without their rebates right now, our largest size, right? And so the price goes down, less than 50 pounds. But our largest size, so 50 to 100, is $162. But we also have a $20 instant rebate that we apply. And then we have a $25 mail-in rebate. So, I mean, it really kind of nets down the price on a month-to-month doses.
But let's just say no more than, I don't think it's more than $15 a month. And so if your pet gets heartworm disease, then they literally have these spaghetti worms inside their heart floating around causing heart or cardiac disease, mm-hmm. pulmonary or lung disease, and other diseases, sometimes affecting the kidneys and other organs. And so to fix those problems is about $2,500.
So I think it's important to share with people that you won't necessarily see signs or symptoms of those things until it's really developed.
Yeah.
And so but that's we one do reason, a heartworm test.
Yeah, a yearly heartworm test to pick up.
Yeah.
If they are positive and we don't know it, we want to know as soon as possible.
Yep, for sure.
So one reason I wanted to bring this up is for the first time in my life, Friday, 2 days ago, I recommended a pet not receive monthly heartworm prevention.
Interesting. Why?
Because this pet is, I think Parker's around 7 years old. He's either 5 or 7. I think he's 7. He's a golden. He looks very much like your Tobin.
Mm-hmm.
He was on Sentinel for a very long time. We upgraded him to Sentinel Spectrum 3 or 4 months ago. 3 days after giving the Sentinel Spectrum dose, he had a seizure. And we worked him up as best we could. We found no abnormalities, no problems on lab work or physical exam. He had another seizure on day 2, another seizure day 3, another seizure day 4, and then normalized.
Interesting.
And so
every month that he gave,
so just the 1 month.
Okay.
And so a month later, the owner came back in to get a different prevention other than what we gave. We do know that heartworm preventions can induce seizures.
Certainly.
On a very rare occasion, but honestly, anything can. And so she came in and got a different product and then felt like there were some similar ingredients and swapped that out for a prescription for the Sentinel flavor tabs it was on previously, mm-hmm. never showing seizure disorder. And so I think 2 months after receiving a heartworm prevention, she gave the old preventative, and lo and behold, 3 days later, seizure, another day later, another seizure. Another day later, another seizure. I'll see what happens tomorrow, which is Monday. Probably had a seizure today. And I'm thinking, do we use ProHeart 6? No, I don't want a seizure every day. ProHeart 12, I don't want a seizure every day. All of our preventative medications are different, but very similar in
sure,
the class.
Sure, they're obviously in
and
the same class.
You know, we discussed it, and I said, you know, we tested him again. I said, it's crazy, it's weird, it doesn't make sense, but this will be the only time I would ever recommend that you don't give Parker a medication, but we agreed to test him every 6 months and pick up, if he ever tests positive for heartworms, we would treat him. And we may change our mind in 6 or 12 or 18 months, but it really, and we also talked about in his case, he may have something underlying.
Sure.
That the prevention that he tolerated for 5 years, he's now not tolerating. So we're just kind of on high alert, but trying to make the best decisions for him.
Absolutely. So,
but it was just a weird case, you know. And again, I 91 I graduated. So we are beyond 29 years. Probably need to retire pretty quick. But I've never, ever recommended a pet not receive heartworm prevention. I scoff at vets that recommend pets not receive any vaccinations, period, because they supposedly had a reaction from mild to severe to a vaccine component.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, oh, you're not doing your job right? Let's look at this and think about this. But anyway, so... I'm exhausted telling that story.
Well, let's circle back and kind of close things up with a nice pretty bow. That is one time out of 30 years, right?
Yeah.
So the moral of the story is not to discredit the heartworm preventions, but truly to give them, but also to learn your pets. If there is some abnormal behavior, like do kind of understand the history and what's going on. Coincidentally, this dog may go outside and eat a mushroom every day that it gets a Sentinel tablet. So we don't really know.
We don't know the true story.
Yeah, we don't know all of it, so we can only make the best of it. But kind of circling things back, healthy pet, happy life. Giving your pet heartworm prevention on a monthly basis is going to keep them
flea tick. I was going to
healthy
mention,
longer.
You know, in Georgia, again, other areas absolutely also. But Same thing with fleas and ticks. Fleas are a nuisance. They can transmit disease. Ticks absolutely transmit horrible diseases. So in our practice here, we definitely recommend 12 months heartworm prevention, which also in that product takes care of all the intestinal parasites we talked about, but also flea tick, best thing you can do for your pet.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So we'll talk more healthy pet, happy life in coming episodes.
I think there's a lot to be discussed there.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have a little bit more organized thoughts in the future.
That was kind of a jab. But
it wasn't. It wasn't a jab at all. I'm just saying, like, sticking on one thing specifically.
So my point, I'm going to stop you from closing out. So there is so much to talk about. Like, you could say, what are the core vaccines? What are the lifestyle?
Absolutely.
And we could talk about lepto for an hour. We could talk about parvo, parainfluenza, distemper, all of these things, you know, Bordetella flu. And it's really hard to, in a very succinct amount of time, explain it all. So,
well, take it for this instance, right? So we have scheduled appointments here for 30 minutes, right?
Yeah.
And
how can we? Yeah.
We are now challenged with educating a current or new pet owner in 30 minutes,
remotely.
All the things that we do and reasons why we do them and make these recommendations
yeah.
within this 30 minutes that we're also supposed to physically do these things if they've agreed.
And then via telephone or telemed.
Yeah. I mean, even video, before that, yeah. it was just as difficult, right? So yeah. While they're here, I would urge you, if you ever have questions, don't turn to the internet. If the vet is doing something or people in the vet's practice are doing something and you have questions about it, it's okay to question it. But learn from them. Don't learn from others. And I say that because my sister follows the Hamilton Mill Next Door app.
Oh, gosh.
And there was a lady on there, don't know her at all. She had an 8-week-old puppy, apparently, took it to a local veterinary practice. They discussed with her the vaccines, quote-unquote, talked her into doing a bivalent flu, not knowing it was a new vaccine, again, air quotes.
Like 4 years old.
Now, the dog is having GI upset, and so rather than calling the vet and discussing with them, she's discussing with next door. And yeah. so she's getting these recommendations for this, again, 8-week-old puppy to
give Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah, exactly. All these random things. And so we are trying to educate and, I guess, encourage people to understand why we do what we do, right? So heartworm prevention specifically today, flea and tick control specifically today. If there's ever any question, I think you should always return back to the people making that recommendation.
And if you don't trust the recommendation, you're in the wrong practice, right? So I'm going to kind of put my foot down there. We trust our clients. We want our clients to trust us.
Certainly.
And if that's not the relationship we have, you don't understand why we do what we do. And so,
or we've not done gun
yeah,
a good enough job.
We've not educated you well enough, or you're just not the right mindset. We don't agree with healthy pet, happy life. We agree with something else. So,
sure. All right. Well, shall we digress?
Yes. Let's
check in
before I really start preaching more.
Oh, like, don't do
my
it.
Blood pressure is going up.
Don't do it. Check in next week as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow us on Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets. Follow all of our clinics on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And check out our blogs on our website at mygavet.com. Also, please subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening. If you aren't listening, I guess, obviously you are. If you have questions about listening.
If you aren't listening, please listen.
Please listen. Anyways, you can find this podcast under our resources tab on our website as well. You can actually see a typed text version there.
Yeah, typed.
Anyways, maybe Jen will edit that part out.
No, she won't. Just leave it in.
And remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
Bye, guys. Everybody stay safe.